Isn't it great to be in the house of God this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It is. You know, it's always great to be able to come together and worship our Lord and to acknowledge our God who made us, who fashioned us in His own likeness. And now He's given us an opportunity this morning to glorify Him as we have been doing in song this morning. And we appreciate so much and thank all of you who may be visiting with us this morning. We had a wonderful day yesterday. As Ben mentioned, we had over 22 different congregations that were represented. And it was just a great, great day. We always look forward to that every year when we can come together with sister congregations and be able to be in fellowship one with another. Have you ever really lost something that was important to you in life? We probably all have. Remember the little Bo Peep who lost her what?
Sheep.
And what? Didn't know where to what? Find him. Yeah, you're right. You know, we lose a lot of things in life. We lose our car keys. I don't know about you. I've lost mine a lot of times. Not only my keys. We have a lot of missing items sometimes that just come up missing for some reason or another. We lose them. We don't know where they are. It happens in life. We lose a lot of things. And then we go, a lot of people sometimes will come here. Maybe they leave their car key or their cell phone, whatever it happens to be. And Shelley and Dwight, who come up here and clean the building, find a lot of items like that, and they put them in the lost and found. And we have a lot of folks that come up and say, look, I lost something. Could you please check and see if it's in the lost and found? Maybe you've done that. One of the most famous things of all that we lose has to be our cell phone. Any of y'all ever lost your cell phone? Anybody? Mine is lost right now. I have no idea where it is. Now, we lose cell phones. It just happens, you know, you think, and we cry a thousand tears because it happens, but we don't know where to look. But you know what? You just need to go back to where you lost it and find it. Sometimes it may be laying. They call me from Little Mexico every now and then. My phone cover is black, and you know those tables out at Little Mexico are black, and you lay that on, it just kind of blends in with it. And people said, well, why don't you get another cover? And I did, and it still did the same thing. But sometimes people start looking under the bed, trying to find their cell phone. They hear it ringing, and they just don't know where it is. And we say, well, maybe if we prayed about it, we'd find it. A lot of times we put the cell phone on silent. Hopefully yours is on silent this morning. But anyway, people put it on silent, and then when they ring it, it doesn't go off. And so we find it troubling when that happens. But you know, Jesus, in the book of Luke 18:1, said that men ought always pray. We need to pray about the lost. Paul said one time, my prayer and desire for Israel is that they might be saved. We have to pray about things. Paul said that we're to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But have you this morning, of all things, misplaced your cross? You know, we were singing about the cross a moment ago. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And you know what? Isn't it amazing how we often misplace the cross? We do. When you misplace your cross, you misplace your hope. You misplace your peace. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily. You and I are to be following Christ, Luke 9 and verse 23, daily. But sometimes we want to follow Christ without the cross. And sometimes we lay the cross down, so to say, in a very spiritual way, and we want to come to Christ, but we want to come to Jesus without a cross. But yet the Bible tells us that we all have a cross to bear. We have a cross just like Jesus did. We often sing about it, the old rugged cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. And the cross represents the death of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. That song says, I'll cherish the old rugged cross till at last my trophies I lay down. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2 and verse 32, the prophet asks a question here, and I think the relevancy of it is without comment. He says, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Now, they didn't bear a cross in the Old Testament, but they were to bear the likeness of the God who made them and called them out of darkness. And you know, you and I are to be a people today who do not forget. You know, think about it. A bride doesn't forget her attire, and a maid doesn't forget her ornaments. So why would people misplace their cross today? As I said, we often misplace that cell phone. Where is my phone? Where could it possibly be? And sometimes we're more concerned about our cell phone being lost than we are losing our cross. Maybe we misplaced our cross the same way we misplace our cell phone. How do we do that? How do we do it? Maybe it's through negligence. It has to be almost, doesn't it? We just lay it down and we don't think about it. You know, if you're not bearing the cross all the time, it would be very easy for you to lay it aside or to lay it down somewhere, just like you do the cell phone. You lay the cell phone aside and you think, well, I'll remember where I put that. And then a few minutes later, you have no idea where you put it. And the same thing is true with the Bible. We have people, believe it or not, that lose their Bibles, who call up here and want to know if we can find their Bible. And it is amazing at times how people can lay aside the Word of God, and I know we do it accidentally, we don't do it intentionally, no more than we would intentionally, hopefully, lay down the cross. But Jesus said that we are to bear the cross. But I have to ask you this morning, when did you lay down the cross? And have you found it yet? You see, Jesus on the cross said, why have you forsaken me? As he cried out unto God. Jesus did not lay down the cross. He bore the cross. And he asked, why have you not picked up your cross? Have you misplaced it? Our minds today are so focused on too many things of lesser worth. And we don't really think about bearing the cross. Well, people think about being Christians. People think about what it really means to be a child of God. We go to worship. We give to God. We sing when we come together and glorify our God who is in heaven. But when it comes to bearing the cross, you know what that means? That means that with a cross you die. It has become the emblem of death when you think about it. We have crosses sometimes that are placed on the highways in memory of those that maybe were involved in an automobile accident and they died. And someone came by and put up a white cross several years ago. We were up in Virginia and up in Washington and we saw all those white crosses. And it is amazing because every one of those crosses represented a life. It represented an individual. But our minds are so focused on so many things. No wonder we lay the cross aside too many times. Let me ask you now, did you remember the cross today? Did you bring it with you? We sing that old song, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Have you misplaced your cross? Is it misplaced? Do you know where it is? Could you find it? When I think about bearing the cross, I think about laying down one's life for God. What did you have to give up? You think about that cross now. You know, the cross means that you die to self. Jesus, he didn't say that you pick up the cross and ornamentally wear it. You don't. It's not a cross that you just wear around your neck, or it's not a cross that you have on a ring somewhere. It's not a cross that you have on a church building. It's not a cross that you hang from your rearview mirror. But it is a cross that represents the fact that when we come to Christ, we have to die. We give up our sin. And Paul, the apostle, gave great words of encouragement when he said in Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. Notice what Paul says. He didn't say, I was crucified, but he said, I am crucified. The word am is in the present tense. Paul said one time, he said, I die daily. And when we come to know Christ and when we pick up the cross, it's not a cross that you lay down and pick up and lay down again and you pick up again and you want the world to kind of see that you're bearing the cross, but you're not really bearing the cross. It's just symbolic. We must lay down our lives for God. And when you think about it, don't lay down the cross. We suffer in the flesh when we sin. And that's why the Bible says that we pursue the avenue of not sinning. And we start seeking higher and holy motives to honor our God. That's why sin is so bad. In the Bible, in the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 23 and following, says that the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the wages or the payment for sin has always been death. And it is even now. You see, it hurts to go against what we naturally are drawn to. And we are naturally drawn to the world. And yet John would write in 1 John chapter 2, he says that, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It's hard to deny the thoughts that you naturally tend to think on. That's why Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 3 said to think on things that are high, think on things that are holy, think on things that are pure, think on things that are lovely, and if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, he says, think on these things, think on these things. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, the apostle said, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, he says, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. I love John 3:16. It's just one of my favorite passages and one that I learned early on as a child. My mom taught me. It is, think about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have life everlasting. What does that really mean? It means that Christ bore a cross and he died on a cross. And we must be willing to bear our cross also. Taking up your cross daily leads to transformation. You know what transformation means? It means that you move from one state to another state. It's what happens with that little cocoon and the butterfly. That little worm inside that cocoon is changed or transformed. You know, we have transformers around this building, electrical transformers. And tremendous power is coming into those transformers. And those transformers actually reduce the tremendous power and bring it down to a level that we could use it. And when you think about our lives, our lives are transformed by the power of God. The book of Romans chapter 12 says, "Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You won't always be the same person you are today. You won't. And as you are cleansed from the sinful nature of mankind, the fruit of the Spirit will come to be a real part of your life. It's that fruit of the Spirit that we are to bear also in Galatians, he says, chapter 5. And we should remember that. But when you think about Paul's life, Paul could safely say in Philippians 3 and 12 that I've been trying to be the Christian that God wants me to be, and I am bearing the cross. He says, not that I've already attained or that I am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold for me. Bearing the cross. You know why so many Christians give up on God and why they give up the church? They're unwilling to bear the cross. They're unwilling to bear the cross in terms of how much time they give to God. I'd give more time to God, but I just don't have the time to come to God. I don't have the time to come worship God. Where'd you lay down the cross? I'd give more into the coffer of God. Where'd you lay down the cross? I'd seek my brothers and sisters out there in the world that are not Christians, and I would do my best to bring them to Christ, but I just don't have time. Where'd you lay down your cross? I'd pray more. I'd read the Bible more. But my time schedule, you just don't know my time schedule. Where'd you lay down the cross? Romans chapter 6, verse 8 through 11 is so profound. And when Paul wrote these words to the Roman church, he challenges them. Listen to what he says. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again, for death no longer has dominion over him. You know, one thing about bearing the cross, when you consider this, and even though we die to sin, we want to give up sin and things that would hurt us and mar the church and bring shame on God. God gives us life. That's why the Bible says that when a person makes a decision to serve God and to die to sin and take up the cross, then he's crucified, like Paul says. And then you take a man who has been crucified and you bury him in a grave, and the grave happens to be baptism. In the book of Romans chapter 6, Paul explains it when he says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we should also walk in newness of life. Symbolically, we are buried with Christ, but we are literally baptized into Christ for the remission of our sin. And a person who is not willing to pick up the cross has no need to get in the water. You would be burying a live man if you didn't die, if you didn't bear the cross. But when you bear the cross and you die, spiritually speaking, then you take a dead man and you bury him in water. A lot of people say that a person is cleansed before he is baptized. That would be like a woman washing her clothes because the clothes are clean. You wash the clothes because the clothes are dirty. You don't wash the clothes because they're clean. No more than a man can be clean before he is washed. And he is washed in the waters of baptism and bathed in the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul goes on to say, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Think about it. We're dead in Christ, dead to sin, dead to worldly ambition, dead to the past. Some people lay down the cross and go back to where they were. Demas did that. The Bible says that he, having loved this present world, he departed from God. Many people are not dead to their past. A lot of people want to crawl out of the grave and go back and live the old sinful life. We need to be dead to anxiety and worry and frustration. And yet we are alive to God in Christ Jesus, we say. Alive to obey, alive to rejoice in the good work through us. Alive to walk wherever He calls us to go. Because His calling is genuine and sure. And the Bible, as we were studying in our Bible class this morning, many are called, but few are chosen. Because so many people go back into the world. Let me tell you something. When you are baptized into Jesus, it is not a ticket to glory. You don't get on the train that goes to heaven simply because you are baptized. If a man does not live his life consistent with the will of God, he's lost. A lot of people don't like to hear that. I'm telling you the truth. This is one preacher that will tell you the Word of God as it is. I'm not trying to tickle the ears of people. Or for them to walk away and say, what a preacher. He didn't say anything at all about sin. That's the kind of church I want to go to. No, I'm going to help you get to heaven. And I'm going to tell you how you get there. We are alive in Christ and we can experience His joy. For John 15 and verse 11 says, my joy I give unto you, not as the world gives. In Christ, you see, your past is settled, your present is covered, and your future is secure. My joy, notice this, I give to you my joy. And the world cannot give that kind of joy. And if you have no joy, there is a leak in your Christianity somewhere. And you have laid down your cross. But Jesus said, if a man comes after me, pick up your cross. Pick up your cross. But maybe you've misplaced it. We should lay down our life for other people. God, yes. Others, yes. In the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, Christ said, when you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you fed them, you've clothed them, you've ministered to them, you went to them to heal them, to help them with their mental emotions and difficulties in their life. You lay down your life to help others. That's why in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We should say, I will lay down my life at your feet, Jesus. In John 13 and verse 38, Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? He asked that very pointed question. Will you lay down your life for me? You see, when you lay down your life for others, you do exactly what Galatians 6:2 says. You want to fulfill the law of Jesus of all things, don't you? Because Christ said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will, fulfilling the will of my Father who is in heaven. Lay down your phone. But don't lay down the cross. For greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down one's life for his friends. And we all have friends. When you became a Christian, did you lay down your life for your friends? Did you? Or have you misplaced the cross? You don't feel compelled anymore, maybe, to talk to other people about the Lord you claim to love, because you laid down the cross. And you can't get out there and try to encourage other people to pick up a cross and follow Jesus when you laid down your own cross. You lay down your life, not the cross. And if the Bible teaches anything, it teaches don't walk away from the cross. Make sure you do not misplace the cross, but bring your families to the cross also. And you grow in love. You get started with God. That's the way you start. You revisit your priorities, and we all have to do that, because sometimes our priorities mandate that we pick up the cross again. And we ought to lay down our life for others, Jesus taught. And we must win souls for Jesus. That's what the Give Me the Bible program is really all about. And we were doing it this month. We're doing it right now. Believe it or not. This lesson, this afternoon, will be on the World Wide Web. And we'll be reaching millions of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our Give Me the Bible program did the same thing this morning via Facebook and YouTube, able to reach millions because you picked up the cross. And the road before us is a road that offers opportunities and challenges, and it really, more than anything else, is based upon whether or not we pick up the cross and follow Jesus where he leads us. If God can say, I can turn coal into diamonds, sand into pearls in an oyster, and a worm into a butterfly, I can turn your life around as well. Your life. Maybe the issues that are going on in your life right now, the problems that you're having in your life, is because you laid down the cross. You laid it down. Well, how can I give my life to God? How do I go about doing that? Well, I know the world offers another story. I'm telling you the gospel, though, and I challenge you to read the scriptures that I put on the screen and I preach to you, folks. I'm not telling you just to accept my word for it. I'm telling you to read the Bible. Quit listening to all these erroneous doctrines that are being perpetrated in the name of Christ. Some people say, well, I'll pick up the cross next week. Next year, when I'm not quite so busy. One of these days I'll do that, but not now. We have to put God in the driver's seat of our life, because anything under his control will never be out of control. And there is no crown. Think about it. There are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers here upon this earth. Anybody can wear a cross. But can you bear one? You see, that's the real issue. Can you bear the cross? We have to pick up the cross Jesus never said it would be easy to follow him, but he started early on in his ministry in the book of Matthew 4:19. And he said, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Three actions have to be taken to follow the Lord Jesus. Pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. So often we sing the hymn, "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." The way of the cross. Don't forget the burial. When a person picks up the cross and he dies to sin, don't forget the burial. And that's in baptism. That's when we're buried with him by baptism into death. And Christ's Spirit says, "For you are all the Son of God through Christ, through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Galatians chapter 3. I ask you a question this morning, and I'll quit. Are you strong enough to bear the cross? If it's difficult for you to bear it, we'll help you bear it. Just like Simon the Cyrene helped bear the cross of Jesus. We'll help you bear it because we love you. And the way of the cross still leads home. Maybe you've turned away from God. You turned your back. You laid the cross down somewhere. Why not come back and pick it up again? While we stand together and while we sing.